Hey, welcome to My Millennial Money. We're excited to have Steve Huey from I Fly Flat, and he is the points whisperer. So if you've ever wanted to travel business class, maybe you'll learn something.
Hey, you're listening to My Millennial Money. It's like the footy show, but it's not the footy show.
Hey Steve, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
John, you well?
I'm well, Glenn, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm a bit sad because Erin isn't with us this week.
Yeah, it's a sad day.
It's a sad day, but she will be back.
It's only temporary.
Before we get into it, I just want to encourage everybody, if you don't connect with us through our private Facebook group, we are on Instagram at My Millennial Money, or if you're not part of the Facebook group and you want to be, just search My Millennial Money on Facebook. And thank you so much to everybody who's been giving us the good reviews on the Apple Podcasts app. All of us appreciate those reviews. And just for those hardcore podcasters who give us the quality 1 and 2 stars, we are taking your feedback on board. And believe it or not, we are very much aware of what you are saying. It's just really hard when you start a podcast and we had no idea what we were doing. We recorded a whole heap of episodes, but we've cleaned up everything and we are trying to make it best for your ears. And thank you so much for those who regularly let us in your ears. So, Steve, you're a points whisperer.
Yeah.
So, you always hear those stories about, getting upgraded and frequent fly points and people flying around the world for free practically. What do you think is the most common myth when it comes to points and points hacking and all that stuff?
I think the most common myth is that people think they can't get flights.
Right.
That they just search once or twice and they think it's gone.
Right.
But not knowing that those seats are continuously changing. Practically every hour, those seats are changing.
So I've literally just got back from the States, as we're recording this, and, there was a heap of us that went over there for a wedding, and everyone trying to buy tickets, it was daily changing, the prices. So, is it to the point where the computer algorithms with flights is just so nuts, so you just got to game it almost?
Well, the ultimate gaming is using points, because points are the number of points to fly. It doesn't change.
Right.
It's always the same number of points to fly A to B for the whole 12 months or more.
Right, right.
So regardless of when that flight is taking off, the points 12 months out versus 2 days out are the same.
Same points for each different class.
Right.
And that's where you win, because sometimes you might get a super special. Say sometimes we see some flights to Los Angeles for $700.
Mm.
You can get a cash ticket. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But sometimes that same seat might be $2,500.
Wow.
And you can use your points, same points.
So I want to know, I'm probably being selfish getting you on the show, because it's probably just me asking you questions and John asking you questions and everyone out there is just listening in. What do you think is the best way to get points?
The best way to get points is via points earning credit card.
Right.
That is the most fastest and most reliable way to get points.
That's interesting, because we need to end the episode now, because we don't like people on my spending plan using credit cards for day to day. So I'll give you an example. I just got the Amex, the Qantas Amex, because I do a little bit of flying, probably more than the average bear, and it's primarily with Qantas, and I signed up to the Amex credit card, and I think they gave me 70,000 or 50,000 points. Mm-hmm. With Qantas, is 100,000 points worth about $500 or $1,000? Is that generally...
The minimum value is about 1 cent per point.
Right.
If you used... So, it's about 1 cent per... this is good for me to cover. So, some people use points to redeem for gift vouchers.
Yes.
And they're happy as Larry.
Yeah.
But you're only getting about 0.5 cent per point back.
Right.
If you use points to redeem for economy, you get about 1.2 cents back.
Right.
If you use them to fly business class, you get about 3.5 to 4 cents back.
Really?
Yeah.
So, if you... collecting points, and is this generally across any airline?
Generally, yeah.
So you really want to use your points to get the business class upgrade.
or business class outright.
In general.
Outright. Yeah. So use the points. Yeah.
But you're obviously using a hell of a lot more business points.
Yeah. Well, it's actually only double points. So if you fly somewhere for 50,000 points economy,
yeah,
business class is only 100,000 points.
Wow.
But in terms of cash price, business class is typically four times the right. price of economy.
Right. So Steve, your business, I Fly Flat, you primarily work with other companies that have maybe executives with credit cards and whatnot. And if they need to fly anywhere, you will jump in and arrange to maximize the...
Yeah, or even a bit early on, we help them map their spending on the right cards.
Right.
To earn the points that they can use later. So the whole idea is that you're running a business, you've got bills to pay, or you're a personal person, you've got bills to pay. Get all the points you can for the right cost and then use them later for much cheaper than if you were going to buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm. And so for example, we don't really encourage people... you know, using credit cards for day-to-day, right?
Yep.
I think you'll end up spending more and you probably, I don't know. What do you think, John? Like, do you think the habit of having credit and buying shat you don't need would offset the use of points anyway?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's different depending on the psyche of each individual. If they know what they're spending, number one, then they can rein it in on their credit card limit and know that that's their maximum.
Yeah.
But others, total opposite is it's free money and it's not handing over cash, so I'll spend it how I want sort of thing. So. Yeah.
I mean, if you are listening and you can actually control yourself, one strategy I used to do and I don't anymore was... and I might need to revisit this strategy, but I don't believe in using credit for day-to-day expenses. Like,
yeah, but then you don't get the points on the money that you're spending anyway.
That's right. But so I don't believe in using credit for day-to-day stuff. However, all my fixed monthly bills and whatnot are coming off the credit card.
Okay, yeah. Because my perspective is I'm not using credit. That is just purely a payment mechanism.
Sure.
Whether I'm using cash... a debit card or a credit card, I'm just using that to make the transaction.
Yes.
And
yeah. So I suppose the argument has always been, Steve, is you're using that to pay for something that you might not have bought if it wasn't for the reward of the points. People maybe get lured in to say, well, I'm going to get more points if I buy this, so I'm going to buy that just so I can get the points.
Sure.
That's been an argument in the past. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I must say, we met you 10 minutes ago. You didn't walk into a witch hunt. But I think it's just good, like, number one, like, because the amount of young people I coach with credit card debt is nuts.
Mm.
If you can control yourself, maybe it's a good strategy if you plan to do some travel. But if you can't control yourself and you do have some travel coming up, I would say get the credit card and only have it linked to your cash hub. And, you know, clear it monthly and only have it for fixed bills, not in your wallet every day.
Yeah, I'll say the number one thing is control.
Yes.
If you can control and pay off your card in full every month, then you'll win.
Yeah.
But if you can't, then don't touch them because the points were not worth any interest.
That's right. Mm. And I would say if you've paid interest on a credit card in the last couple of months, you've got a spending problem or a cash flow problem.
Yeah, you've got an issue to begin with.
Yeah,
don't
worry
about points.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a different thing because
that's
not about points. That's just about using the credit card for credit purposes.
Yeah, exactly. But I know my personality because I've got no freaking self-control. I can't use credit. I mean, I take credit and I use... so when I was in the States for 6 weeks, everything just was on the Amex.
Yep.
And I think I was getting like, I think in September, I got 30,000 Qantas points. So
there's actually a couple of debit cards that give you points as well.
Really?
Do they?
They don't give you as many. So, for example, Bankwest has one where you can earn points on your balance. So it's like a savings account.
Mm.
You earn points on your balance per month.
Mm.
And you get 5 points per transaction, I believe.
Wow.
There's... some prepaid cards, I think Qantas Cash and Virgin Money.
Mm.
Prepaid cards, you can load Australian dollars or foreign currency in, and that's preloaded, and you can get points that way. So there's many ways to get points. It's just about picking the right system for you and then why you want the points. That's the magic.
What's the most amount of points you've seen in a client's account when they've come to you?
About 40 million points.
Nice.
Ouch.
Do you know, were they a financial planner?
No, they're not. They are a construction company.
Yeah, wow. And is it true that at some, like the Qantas Frequent Flyer points program was almost worth more than the company itself at some stage?
Yes, I think it's probably still worth more today.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because this is a good question. I might just jump in. Like, how do they make money? And I think that's most people don't understand. It's a Qantas Frequent Flyer program or any loyalty program. They sell points to people. They sell it to the banks. They sell it to the supermarkets.
Right.
And they make the money. And then they say they sell them at 1.5 cents, for example. And then when you come to redeem them at 0.5 cent or 1 cent, they made the margin.
Oh, right. So they make the spread.
Margin. Yeah.
Okay, so that's very interesting. I actually didn't know how that actually works. So I've got some life insurances with OnePath, for example, owned by ANZ Bank. Every time I pay my premium, it's linked to my Qantas card. Mm-hmm. Would have OnePath or ANZ have purchased points off Qantas as a benefit for their customers?
Yep.
And then they make the money on the spread.
Yep. To encourage you, because it's really a marketing program in my mind. Mm. So you're going with OnePath because they offer points.
Yes.
Additional of other things.
Yeah.
So therefore you stick with them versus someone who's not offering points.
Right.
So for a lot of our listeners are business owners, but there's a lot that aren't business owners. So obviously your business focus is on businesses.
Yep.
If I'm a consumer out there that's not a business owner, where do I start? What's my tips, I suppose?
My tips is to collect points from all sources. So I do answer this quite common, because people who don't have many points, they're not incentivized to collect more.
Mm.
And I see it the same as money. So if you're trying to save for a car and you don't start saving that $5 and $10, you'll never have $10,000 to buy a car. And that's the same with points.
Mm.
Just because you have no points today doesn't mean you should not collect them. So if 10 points, five points here, 3 points for a coffee, it all adds up. And then sooner or later, you have enough points for a trip and you wondered, where did those points came from?
Can you go to Amex and ask them to allow us to use Amex cards at every institution in Australia? Because that's a frustration of mine.
Yeah, so Amex, well, it is changing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can slash my Amex in a lot of places now, particularly the big department stores.
Acceptance is much increasing at a very fast rate.
Yeah. But I must stress, like, I'm not telling everyone to get a credit card. The amount of people I've coached out of credit card debt, it's nuts. But, you know, there's a time and place for everything.
But like anything, isn't it? It's like getting the education on something so you can make an informed decision around it, as opposed to just hearing the myths and making
your
conclusion.
Now, so you say, you know, you've got to get points.
Yep.
Now, in your view... primarily our listeners are Australian.
Yep.
What do you think is the most beneficial points program? Is it something linked to Oneworld or the Chris Flyer of, like, what do you personally use?
Yeah, so most of the time you'll think either Qantas or Virgin, because they're the big airlines that service Australia.
I reckon Virgin's points program's crap.
Well, it depends. So the answer actually depends where you want to go.
Sure.
Because Qantas is great because they fly everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you can't decide where you want to go, you go with Qantas as default. Virgin's great for domestic flights and where they fly. So New Zealand.
John, you fly domestically Virgin, don't you?
Mm.
And you're on a plane every second Thursday almost.
Not every second Thursday, but yeah.
Yeah, so Virgin points are slightly lower in number to fly domestically, and their taxes are slightly lower.
Right.
But if you want to go, say, to Europe, then Virgin points are technically cost more.
Mm.
So it all comes down to where you want to fly to, because there will be a sweet spot.
Mm.
But if you can't decide where you want to fly to, the other option is to choose something that allows you to earn points first and then transfer them to the airline of choice.
Right.
Say Amex has membership reward points.
Yeah.
Or Westpac has got altitude points.
So my Commonwealth Bank, I used to have a Commonwealth Bank Diamond.
Yep, award.
Rewards.
Reward, yep.
So
yep.
It's the MasterCard Diamond or whatever. The best bank for my buck was redeeming the points at Flight Centre.
Yep.
So it was annoying. Like, I'd book my Sydney to LA because I go to the States twice a year, it seems at the moment, in the last 5 years. I'd book my return ticket to LA, get the good deal, walk into Flight Center. They'd get the shits with me because I'm not buying any insurance off them. I'm not buying a big flight and I'm just redeeming, you know, and pay points for all my internals.
Yep, yep. The true answer comes down to how much value you gain per point. So it's like, for say, one airline point, how many CBA points do you need to exchange into one airline point? Because you got to get to a common base level,
sure,
to compare.
Yeah.
Because you can't compare apples with oranges. Mm-hmm. You got to change them to something first, mm-hmm, and then compare. And I think that's where everyone gets caught up by not doing that calculation.
So as your business, how do you keep track of the ever-changing point system and airlines and,
yeah,
well, banks?
For me, frequent flyer points is the cheapest way to fly in any class of choice. So we are always reading news. Mm. There's airline news, there's blogs, there's forums. And we have a researcher that does various investigations to work out if a plans have changed, has the combination of exchange of points changed, or all that stuff. So we're trying to always work out where the sweet spot lies and then maximize that until something else changes.
Yeah. So in a way, you've taken the role of the admin assistant at someone's work by saying, well, we'll book the flights for you.
Yep.
We'll analyze the back end and have it booked for you and use your points on your behalf, and here's your flights and this is when you're taking off.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a combination of, say, a travel agent in an admin person, because because this is all we do. So we know everything about which points to use, which card to use, and how to book the flight. I think the how to book the flight is much harder than you might think, because you sort of think that you just log on, find a flight, you book it. But sometimes online just doesn't work, and you got to call. And you know, when you call someone, the other person at the other end of the line sometimes knows what you're doing, sometimes doesn't. So that's the other tricky part.
So I've got a heap of questions to ask you, but before we get onto that, remember it was one of the first episodes we did, and you said you'd listen to this podcast. It was the frequent flyer points episode that we did, and I shared how I purchased Alaskan frequent flyer miles at a discount.
Mm.
I think I spent like $3,800. I don't know the amount, whatever it was, with the idea to then log into Alaskan Air, get Sydney to LA return business class for $3,500 UP, because Alaskan do not fly to LA, but they co-share with Qantas. So, and then there was no seats left.
Yep, yep.
And thankfully, they purchased the points back and I made money on the currency. let's do a bit of an autopsy on my dumbness. What did I do wrong?
The one thing you did wrong was not find seats first.
Ah.
That's the only thing.
It might seem obvious to the listener out there.
Because frequent flyer seats are limited. So if you got a certain set of dates, you got to find seat availability first, and then you can do the rest.
Right.
So because you did the rest thinking that the seat's just waiting there.
So you said before that the frequent flyer seats are already established by the airline. Is that correct?
That's right. So they're a bit like distressed inventory in a way that airline, from its past history and its projections, know that flight will have certain number of spare seats that they can't sell.
Mm.
And then those are the seats that they normally allocate for frequent flyer points to book. So that's at the start. But then along the whole period of time, it will change because they might sell more seats than expected, or they might sell less seats than expected. So therefore, the number of frequent flyer seats that become available is constantly changing.
Mm.
And then the last bit that changes is some people might have booked seats, but they might have canceled them. So therefore, those seats become available.
Sure.
So you've got like 15 levers changing all the time.
So it was, I Because I fly, I use Qantas because I actually don't like Qantas as an airline internationally. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I just think they're a bit cheap and tacky.
Oh, well, that depends if you're flying at the front or at the back.
Well, I fly Qantas Business.
He's always up the pointy end, Steve.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't know. But anyway, so when I came back from the States a couple of days ago, I had a business return ticket and I've got Qantas Platinum membership, and I put in the request to upgrade to first for 50,000 points because I hadn't flown first before. What the hell?
Yep.
And I got it.
Cool.
Do you think, like, I don't think it was worth it. Like, yeah, they're the bigger seats, they cook for you, like...
Going from business to first?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big, massive difference between economy to business.
Totally.
But then business to first, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It all depends on the cabin as well. So, the A380 is going to be old now, the first class cabin. Well, it was
a 9-year-old plane now.
Yeah, so you're not getting the best in class.
No.
But if you were flying, say, even just another airline that...
Maybe has a 787.
Yeah, brand new cabin. You'll experience that there's still a decent gap between business and first.
Right. Yeah, it was a little bit tired. I mean, it was nice. Mm. And, you know, they put the big, like the mattress is better than the business class mattress. But I just, yeah, I don't think it.
So in Glenn's situation there, that 50,000 points, you're saying roughly around $12,000, 1 to 4?
Yeah, about that. That will be the... Probably to be a difference in price if you were to upgrade.
Upgrade, yeah.
50,000
times about 4 cents. So about $2,000. They're probably about $2,000.
Yeah, missed a zero there.
Yeah.
You're about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I was thinking, no, that's not right. So for everyone out there listening, so what do you think the best actual program is in the world?
In the world, I actually think American Express points are the best.
Sure.
Only because you can transfer them to multiple airlines.
Do I get Amex points and Qantas points?
No.
Okay. Just get Qantas.
You have to make a choice either to get Qantas points or Amex points.
Oh, so I should change it to Amex points, shouldn't I?
Well, if so that suits you. Yeah.
Is it a different card or you just make that choice when you...
A different card.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, because I've got the badged Qantas. Yeah,
that's right.
Sure. What do you think the best credit card is? The Amex?
I still go for Amex.
Yeah.
So Amex earns you more points per dollar
on
every dollar versus a Visa and MasterCard.
Yeah.
But where you can't spend with Amex, of course, the default to your Visa and MasterCard.
And the other question around the Amex is the percentage fee that outlets may charge you extra.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Am I getting more points? Yes. But am I being charged fees in that transaction because I'm using the Amex?
There's a couple of camps. Some people, if they see a fee, they don't pay with card at all. And some people, I guess, will just pay with card anytime because it's convenient.
Mm.
And I'm on a third camp where I'm working out how many cents per point that's going to cost me. Yeah. You know how we talked about earlier, 1 cent... 1 point is worth 3 to 4 cents. Well, if I'm earning 1 point at 1 cent and I fly a lot, then I'm creating myself a discounted flight every time.
Mm-hmm. And what do you, like, what's the best lounge that you've been in?
I say the Qantas First Lounge is the best.
That was really nice in Sydney and in LA.
Yeah, so that's, it's one of those places where it's like all you can eat, all you can drink.
Mm.
So, and you get table service.
It was great. It was like a restaurant. And I was like, oh, do I just get up and leave? Like, I don't have to pay. Well, I did have to
pay. Like normal.
That's right. And any travel hacks with points for maybe anyone who's wanting to, like, a lot of Australians in their 20s obviously go over to London and do some working, and any travel hacks there with getting over to London?
Yeah, so getting to London, I think, is 120,000 points for economy return.
Really?
So not very high. Or 256,000 for business return.
Wow.
So obviously that's a bigger number. So 120,000 points is not super hard to get if you're collecting points from all sources.
Mm.
So one source is going to be your credit card. Another source is online shopping. or shopping at supermarkets, walking your dog, you can actually earn Qantas points and Virgin points virtually for any activity you do these days.
Mm.
How do you earn points walking your dog again?
There's a Qantas app where you can, it's a part of the health insurance,
right?
Where it tracks your movements. And then if you do certain steps,
you
get points.
And so you're saying the 120,000 return points with Qantas?
Yeah, that's Qantas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the US?
US is, I believe, is 90,000 return to go to Los Angeles.
Yeah, wow.
Or 192.
So basically, when I get I buy a business ticket to LA and you get it for like $6,000 on sale or $5,500, throw some points at it. So it's quite competitive.
Mm.
You basically get a return economy flight for free.
Well, yeah. How many points do you earn, though?
I don't know. I flew Dallas, Sydney to Dallas return. I got a lot of points. I don't know.
So you probably, on joining with your 50 or 60,000 point incentive, you've got yourself
You're halfway there.
Half a flight. Yeah.
Mm.
And because you're platinum, you would be getting more points than someone who's on bronze, though.
Right.
So as you go up each of the loyalty ranks, you get bonus points.
Yeah.
So it's a slightly, that's where it becomes quite confusing because someone might say, oh, well, I flew and I got these points. And another person's like, I flew. I didn't get anywhere close to that. So there's all these multipliers in effect. Yeah. Now, I think that's why it makes the whole thing confusing. But if you play the game, you can actually win really nicely.
Mm. Mm. And do you think... So remember the stories where people like, oh, I got upgraded to business class from economy at the check-in counter. Yeah. Do you think that happens anymore?
Very rare because airlines know they can sell these seats now. Yeah. So in the past, they would... So there's still such a thing as an operational upgrade for operational reasons.
Sure.
They'll still upgrade you for free. But chances now that they're so full of algorithms these days that they know there's so many people that have requested a points upgrade. Like, why will you give away something of value for free?
Yeah, when we can, you know, scoop some points.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And they can upgrade you on the tarmac, basically, can't they? And
they can, yeah. Yeah, so you could get lucky. But definitely the thing is, like, if you have the points and you want an upgrade, you should put an upgrade request in because you might get it. Because if you don't put a request in, someone else will get it.
Yeah, I didn't think I would get the first class upgrade, but right place, right time.
Did you have to nominate what you'd pay for that upgrade?
No, it just said if you get accepted, we'll take 50,000 points.
Right,
which is a fixed number.
Yeah. So I mean, it was fine. I'm not doing it again, but. Yeah, it was a good experience. So, for example, if someone is because I don't endorse, I don't care what anyone else does, but I don't use credit card for day to day. And if you can't control yourself, I wouldn't imagine doing so. But if you want to be strategic and you need to buy, maybe you need to buy some lump sum things and some big expenses, maybe it is worth looking around and getting the card, paying for the item, getting the points and getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, just be disciplined. The other part is about matching your lifestyle to the right card. So, for example, you're flying Qantas a lot, so you can get a card that earns you more points than normal. So your Qantas card is probably earning you 2.25 points.
Yeah.
So that's how you can maximize it rather than someone just getting a credit card and might be earning half a point per dollar.
Mm.
You get a credit card that matches your spending habits.
It's like, it cost me $450 a year and you get a free flight out of it anyway and the travel insurance. So it literally pays for itself.
Yeah.
But the problem is the people who go and get that card and can't pay it off and are paying interest each month are paying for me to get my free stuff.
Yes. That's the beauty of... Doing things and winning the game.
Mm. And do you find there's a better time to fly to different areas in the world each
year? No. Personally, I don't believe so.
Right.
I've read plenty of articles about the right time to fly, but it's so variable.
Mm.
So obviously, the right time to fly is when no one else is flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so surely avoiding school holidays would be. Rule number one?
Yeah, school holidays and Christmas is rule number one.
Yeah.
Booking ahead. So I think I've seen a number of sales now to Europe for about $1,200 for 12 months in advance.
Wow.
So that's not bad. So it's about you planning your holiday or your trip way in advance. And some people say, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing 12 months away.
No.
So
book a ticket. You're going holidays. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. So Steve, I've just paid for a conference back in the States next September.
Yep.
I'm flexible with time. I don't care if I'm over there a week before, a week after. Like, at what point would I engage your company to sort it out?
Yep. Once you know your dates.
Sure.
Yeah. So once you know your dates and once you've got points,
yep,
then we can get started and start finding those seats.
Yeah.
Because once we found a seat, that seat won't last. So we find a seat, we book it if you have your dates ready.
Would you, given that Glenn's flexible, would you shop around and say, well, it's better to fly on the Tuesday versus the Wednesday, or are they probably pretty similar at that time of year?
Shopping around is in like trying to find the seat that's available. So,
but like different dates. So your company, you'll come in and get me over to Washington, you know, using my points.
Yeah,
it's efficient, and you just charge me a fee. Like, but are you going to have me stopping in Auckland for an hour and then Fiji for 4 hours? Or because I'll pay more so I don't have to stop?
Not unless you want to, no. All our customers want to fly direct. No one wants to muck around halfway through.
Yeah.
So we always share all the options that we find, and you make the final call on what suits you.
Points broker, basically.
Yeah.
Flights. Flight finder, in a way.
Flight finder, yeah. And what do you think, in your experience, I mean, the last trip that I just took to the States, I used booking.com a lot because you didn't have to pay up front for like the hotels and the hire cars and all that. You just book it.
Yeah.
What do you think? And like all these websites are popping up and it's like a inception almost. You press search and it opens, like it just scans through everything.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is there your favorite, I guess, flight aggregator website? Like there's... What is this? Skyscanner now, Kayak.
Kayak. I find Kayak probably the easiest to use because it gives you all these prices. That's probably a tough question for me because I only book points on flights on points.
Sure.
So I use Kayak to get an idea of how much that ticket costs.
Right. As a bit of a reference.
But domestic and international, or
domestic, I'm happy to fly Jetstar, Virgin, or whatever.
Mm.
It suits a timetable.
Would you ever fly Tiger? Domestic?
I haven't, but don't say I wouldn't. I don't know why. It never comes to my radar.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not on Tiger newsletter.
Yeah.
So I never see the specials.
I just have a problem flying with a company that was grounded for 6 weeks due to safety concerns a couple of years ago. So, yeah. Do you have any other questions, John? This has been really interesting. And Steve's been on every TV show in Australia, basically. And what's your Instagram?
I Fly Flat.
Sweet.
So, LinkedIn's my favorite channel. So, we've got like over 30,000 connections there.
Really?
Which is max. But Instagram, so small. It's like under 3,000.
Wow. Mm. So, given that we've got you on the spot, can you share this episode on your LinkedIn?
Oh, definitely I can.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, people.
So how long have you been running this business, Steve?
Yeah, we've been running for 6 years.
Yeah.
And the reason why we restarted was because I did it as a hobby.
Right.
And I started figuring out, you know, using all these freaking fly points to fly fly first class for about $2,000 or $3,000, which was like crazy, right?
Wow.
And then I thought, somebody must like to do this, right?
Mm.
So then I started offering to individuals, so friends, family, and friends of friends. And what we did was a bit like your Alaskan Miles thing. We used to buy points for people,
and
book them. But first, we'll find the seats first. Then we'll buy the
stuff. I just thought it was all going to be good.
So we did that, and that was quite cool. And then we looked around, and we saw all these businesses. And they were spending all this money.
Yeah.
And they were not collecting the points. So we found that was an even better avenue, helping them get their own points to fly.
I heard you can just quickly pay for your BAS on your...
Yes, you can. There's a cost to it.
Yeah, but they don't apply the points, do they?
They do. Depends on your credit card.
My Amex one?
Yes, you can.
I'm about to drop a big quarterly tax bill. Thanks so much, Steve. That was really fun. And he's... he got some gifts, some first class packs, and we might give a couple away to some listeners.
Yeah, so, please do.
Some slippers.
Yeah. You can find Steve on Instagram at iFlyFlat. Connect with us at My Millennial Money. And join our Facebook group if you would like.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Ghetto Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.
So now that the episode's actually over, we can actually get down to the business side of this.
Party time.
What have you, like, so you've flown a lot in like business and first.
Yeah.
Any celebrity stories that you've seen?
So the funny thing is you don't see any celebrities. I had a client who saw, who's a British football player?
Beckham.
Yes. He was in seat 1A. That was the only close call I've ever.
Guess who was in 1A on Tuesday?
Glenn James.
Giddy up.
You're in his seat. So that would be a good client of yours.
No. He wasn't my client. But
no, but they would be, right?
They would be, yeah.
Would earn quite a number of points.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I was traveling with one of the Hemsworth brothers in first, like the Thor guy.
Okay.
Because he was saying to the flight attendant that he lives at Byron Bay.
Yes, that's not for him. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, you bloody look familiar. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, I think it's that. I don't even know which one it was, but.
Chris. It was Chris. Yeah,
Chris. So he was in the cabin with me. But other than that, it was just like, you know, retirees. Mm.
It's hard to tell because you can't really recognize them. Because that name came with name tags.
They got their eye masks on.
That guy looks. I don't know. I've seen that guy somewhere before, maybe.
I was on the same flight with the Madden brothers once, like the when they were doing The Voice in Sydney.
Yes, like the tattoos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. And what do you think? So, what's your favorite business class?
My favorite business class is, I say Singapore Airlines.
Yeah.
It's got really comfortable, wide seats, quite spacious. And I guess your next question is what's my favorite first, and that's the pack you're holding now. Etihad First Apartments, is my favorite. It's massive, absolutely massive. They call them apartments for a reason because it is like a small apartment.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's a nice leather bag. So if you want to, I don't know, if you want this Etihad amenity kit, we'll give it to somebody. It's got the lip balm. It's got everything, hasn't it? It's just a really nice leather.
It's just got everything to make your trip comfortable.
Yeah. That's really cool.
It is good. Good size.
Wow. Practical. Now, and just the music wasn't... And what's that big one? That's the Singapore one, was it?
Singapore that rug, pajamas.
Oh, pajamas. Yeah. Glenn would look good in those.
Yeah, that's medium.
I've stopped taking them off the plane anymore because I've got that many.
Well, that's the thing. You just, I wear them at home. They're super comfortable.
Yeah. So, the music, you can find Steve on Instagram at iFlyFlat.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram at MyMillennialMoney. And I'm just saying this stuff now because the people who actually like the show listen to this shit at the end.
Yeah, the 99%.
Yeah, that's right. And if you do have an iPhone and you are listening to us on Apple, you really think we're trying to do a good thing here, can you jump on and give us a nice little 5-star review? Because it's really hard. This is the first chance I've actually had to talk to everybody since we put out a heap of episodes and some of them were pre-recorded from many weeks ago and we're getting a lot of hate comments. Well, not hate. They're just like, oh, it's shit. Clean it up.
Just constructive.
Just constructive. So, if you like what we're doing, I'd really appreciate some love. And you can find us. We've got a My Millennial Money group on Facebook where we hang out there.
Cool.
So, yeah. If I think I'm done.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Thanks again, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks for coming up. And you'll see Steve anytime like a TV show talks about points. It'll be Steve on on it. All right. We'll
My
see.
Passion. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
We'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
See Bye. Ya.
I'm just editing this podcast after we did the episode, and he's left a bag full of all these amenity kits. I didn't see how many there were. If you want one, just send me an inbox on the My Millennial Money thing, and I'll post it out to you. There's a few here, so they're cool just for the little toiletry bag. So if you want one, let me know. See ya.